Beth, you're in a sweatshirt.
Yeah, it's cold and windy here in Manassas.
Oh, it's cold and windy here, believe me.
It's very cold and windy here as well.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was telling Elaine that basically we're getting his kind of weather now.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Except we're not used to it.
No.
My cat goes to the door, goes outside, turns around, comes back in. We have to keep doing this ritual over and over and over.
Indeed.
You wanted to check it out to see if there's any difference in the last time she checked.
Yeah.
Yeah, but the wind was gusting like 46 miles per hour today, I saw.
I believe it. Yeah,
Like,
I believe
it's crazy.
Yeah. The flowers don't know what to do with it either, all the flowers that are blooming. Yeah.
Indeed.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, well, because it was 24 degrees this morning.
Yeah, wow. Yeah.
It's crazy because there's a lot of trees out. A lot of the blossoming trees are out.
Oh, yeah.
I saw like 30 robins yesterday in a small area. They're moving back
Wow.
north
Huh.
here.
Uh-huh.
I saw robins yesterday, but none today.
Yeah, they'll be in their hoodies and puffer coats.
Yeah, that's what it is somewhere. I don't know where they go, but you don't see birds on a day like today. You don't see any birds of any kind.
No, uh-uh.
Well, I imagine it'd be really difficult to try and fly in 46 degree wind. Like,
Yeah, that's
you're
right.
gonna be
Yeah.
like,
Yes. Yeah.
you want to
They're
go this
nesting
way?
in
And
wherever they nest. Yeah, right.
wanted to let you know I'm here to disturb the peace.
You're here to disturb the peace?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, just because you're here, this is the only reality, is true, because you know you're here, you know your existence, but there's no you to disturb the peace. This object that's appearing within you is like a, like we talked about, the river. There's some kind of a something floating down the river. Okay, go enjoy. And plus, once you know yourself in a real sense, it's not possible to disturb the peace because you know that whatever is happening, it's just surface stuff. So, okay, whatever, it's happening. It seems to be happening, and that's fine. Just like the concept of free will, it's like, okay, it seems to be free will, but all of that's occurring within the bubble of illusion. So, how much free will really is there? Because you're not a doer, there is no deed. Again, we go back to a dream. You could say, oh, I have free will in my dream. You know, I was able to do this and do that and do this. But when you wake up, what did you do? So was there really free will? There's not, because only within the dream, only within the bubble of illusion, can the appearance of free will occur. Otherwise, how?
Same
You're
goes for
unmoving all the time, everything.
determinism too,
Determinism, making
I guess.
something happen is what you're speaking about?
Well, I'm just saying it's the same, it's just a concept, just like free will, either
Well,
way.
everything you know is a concept because it came within the bubble of illusion.
Yeah.
Prior to illusion, you knew nothing. There was nothing to know, just you. Within the illusion, you got to know a lot of things, including your own existence.
So descriptions can apply to the illusion.
Only they can apply to the illusion. There's no description for the true reality. Even the label reality is kind of goofy because if it's reality, then what is there other? There's nothing. So just to say reality, we say that because we're in the illusion and we need to speak about this reality. So we give it a label, reality. But everything is just concept and label. Just like Maharaj, I love how he says, like, okay, if somebody told you that this is a tongue as a kid, you would say, oh, see my tongue. Because you're just labeling things. You have no, what is finger, a tongue? What is this? Somebody said, this is this. And all of that came along with the body. And prior to body, you knew nothing. There was nothing to know. And no one who needed to know. Only within the illusion can you know something. And only can you know illusory things. It's not even the sense of existence. Your own existence is illusory because it came within the illusion itself.
So I was thinking about that. It's all judge. It's kind of like everything's a judgment call. Well, first you label it and then you make judgments accordingly.
Only if you believe yourself to be a body and mind. Because you have to have some point of identification, some local identification in which to say, I don't like this or I do like that, or give me more of this or give me less of this. So you have to have a body. If you know yourself in a real sense, and you're truly formless, then what is there to judge? And the only thing is to judge is within the illusion. And what is the point of that? When you lay down to sleep at night, you have a dream, good dream, bad dream, but you wake up, you know it's just a dream. What was the point of even saying good dream, bad dream? Other than to know that you, the dreamer, experienced this concept of dreaming. And everything that you had experienced was within that concept of dream. Maharaj says it best, no experience, no experiencer, no witness, no witnesser, nothing is there. From a perspective of a body mind, nothing seems very scary and like, oh, nothing, that's terrible, nothing. That means this something that isn't, I'm going to miss it. I'm going to miss the things that are not. Everything that's not actually happening within the bubble of illusion, all the relations that I've made within the bubble of illusion, I'm going to miss them terribly when they're gone. And I might do that in a dream. We talked about wake up in the dream. You were a rock star with nice house and all the everything you could want. And then you wake up and you're like, oh, that was just a dream. You missed the dream. But it wasn't real.
So just like anything else, if you're sad about a loss or that you have to leave this world, it's,
well, again, then you believe yourself to be a body. Because how are you going to leave this world? That doesn't even make sense. Unless you're a local identification. You say, oh, John's leaving the world. But, okay. And one of the actors is no longer acting. But you're not leaving. You're not going anywhere. You are that. Believing yourself to be separate and individualistic and saying, oh my God, if I leave the world, you can't leave the world. The world is within you. You are not within it. So how can you leave it? The body is like a telescope, basically, to see inside the illusion. For a time. If you identify with the body, then you'll say, oh, Oh my goodness, I'm not seeing as John. But this doesn't make sense. Like, even to say I'm not seeing anymore as John doesn't make sense. And they try to explain that between individual consciousness and universal consciousness, because your universal, they talk about prana in the body goes outward, the body goes, returns to the five elements, and this subtle body, these thoughts or whatever, the individualized consciousness merges into the greater consciousness or the universal consciousness. But even this is just a description of the illusory state that you're currently experiencing and believing to be true, and that you're leaving, but you're not. So imagine, even if you think yourself an individual and you say, oh, my individual consciousness will merge with the universal consciousness, then I'm happy because I'm universal consciousness. But universal consciousness is the world, basically what you're saying, that is within you. So there's no leaving, there's no coming and going, there's no birth or death. The object that you believe yourself to be is a lump of goo that has grown because you fed and watered it like a plant, and gives you the perspective of seeing, oh, this is a world. The space inside the room suddenly clicked with a body and said, I'm in a room. There are objects around me. What happens to the space when the body is no longer available? Well, nothing, because nothing has happened to the space right now. Just a little trick. Well, I exist as something and I see other somethings, but it's not true. And you can prove this for yourself. Like, don't take anybody's word for it. Discover this. Then you understand I'm more like the ocean than I am like the waves. And in reality, there's nothing that is a wave. It's all ocean. It's all water. There never was a wave. There was a concept of a wave because of a labeling. Siddharameshwara Maharaj says beautifully, this is a wall. But in reality, now in their area, they have the cement and the water and the crushed rocks and the sand, but we label it a wall. We don't say, oh, I want to paint my crushed rocks and sand and water. We take all these elements and we put them together and say wall, just like this body. We take all the water and the fire and the earth and all these elements in and say, this is a body, but it's not. It's air and heat and moisture and earth. But that would be rather strange to say, you know, I don't believe that I'm the earth, the fire, the water, the air, the ether. So instead I say, I don't believe I'm a body. Body is a label for a lump of goo that is then labeled with another label. John is the label for the lump of goo that happens to be configured in this way.
Compounding.
Yeah. We saw. Then I'm John. And when you know yourself in a real sense, okay, John is a character. There is an object within the dream, an object that can make decisions, an object that can fully participate in whatever it is in the moment that needs participating in. However, again, not doing anything, because just like your dream character that you're dreaming cannot do anything, This concept of a you cannot do anything. The you that you are has no ability to do anything except within the bubble of illusion.
So the limitlessness appears as limits.
Well, it gives the power, the energy, the movement, the objects, but itself is not an object, nor moving, nor energy. Within the bubble of illusion, we label these things, these aspects, all not true.
I find it interesting. I had sometimes I get dreams, and these are pointing towards limitlessness, I guess you could say. Like today, or was it yesterday? I had this dream about a song, but it wasn't a song with sound. It was like a sort of like a pancake with no particular form, but in to me in the dream it was like a song for some reason, and it was there only as long as I would pay my attention to it, then it was there. As soon as I wasn't paying attention to it, it wasn't really there anymore. Everything was just kind of spacious, like a undefined presence. But I was still kind of there as a kind of observer. But anyway, the message kind of that I got from it was this song that wasn't a sound was limitlessness in a sense, and that if I paid attention to it, becomes real as like present or something like that.
Well, it's all occurring within you.
But that was interesting that happens.
And again, not to pay so much attention to experiences or any, it's the experiencer. Everything's projected on your spontaneous presence, and it has no meaning unless you give meaning to it. And to give meaning to it is to create a bubble of concepts. Because remember now, one concept will birth a million concepts. The concepts I exist birth the conceptual world with a you in it doing things. So that's how you do not want to give validity to any concept. You know their concept, remove it. That's why Maharaj says, you may see the master appear before you. You could be sleeping and wake up at night and there's Sri Ramakant Maharaj. But this is nothing. You forget it. It's just an experience.
It's going to be gone. Yeah.
Ultimately, there's no experience, no experiencer. So anything can happen within the bubble of illusion.
Doesn't make it real.
How can it be real? The only reality is reality. You can't have alternate realities.
Yeah.
Otherwise, reality is not reality. There would be a layer on reality that was mislabeled as reality, but you just had to dig deeper to the actual reality. That's why you go deep and deep inside your selfless self until nothing is there. Presence itself becomes an illusory layer and you remain with yourself. And that's it.
Sometimes I wonder about the from the bodily perspective, say I enter a state of bliss or the self intoxication, I can, from a bodily standpoint, it can feel like it has different degrees of bliss. Like sometimes it can feel like subtle, and sometimes it can be feel like powerful. I
Well, it
suppose it.
remains whatever layers of illusion you're discarding until you get to just that kind of pure presence, pure consciousness, whatever you want to call it. The body is then used as just an instrument for this subtle sense of presence, for this selfless self intoxication. And then you understand that this selfless self intoxication has appeared because of the body, but the one to whom it appears is not in the body. It's just this happening. Which again is not happening because you remain with your selfless self. No movement, no bliss, no nothing. There's just a, you can't describe. It's there's nothing. You're prior to beingness. Because beingness, the sense of presence, is appearing. And that's your kind of your eyes on the prize. Okay, presence. From presence, nothing's there. Presence is the first layer of illusion, and now it's seen. Oh, presence is the very subtle layer, and on this presence, the entire world has appeared. And not to Keith, because Keith is the label for an object inside the world that appeared on your presence.
And then if also if I look at the afterwards, if I look at or actually during kind of during the state of bliss or selfish self-intoxication, I can tell from a mental standpoint that it's selfless and timeless, but it's not. But then I was thinking that what it's still aware. There's still awareness connected to that state of bliss. So it's not awareless, but it does seem selfless and timeless. I thought that was kind of, it's splitting hairs, I guess, somehow with the mind, but.
Well, again, if you are still believing yourself as something separate, you can say, okay, first off, you start the sense of presence is this power greater than me. It's the master. I worship the sense of presence. Then I start to understand and I say, okay, I'm identifying more with presence than I am with the illusion. I am more like presence, more like space or sky than I am any of the objects within that space or sky, within that presence. And now, okay, I identify as the sense of presence. I'm formless presence. I can sense that formless presence in the body. I go about my job and my activities. I'm no longer disturbed by the world because I know I'm formless and all of this is occurring within my own self. And after some time in meditation, after some time of, as Nisargadatta Maharaj says, remaining with the I am in all your waking moments, the sense of presence, sense of existence, I am, there is a knower of the I am. There's the knowing. And when we say knowing, it's not an act of knowing. There is presence that is known. And you remain with your selfless self.
At first, it can seem like you said, you pay attention to the sky or the element or the nature of it being sort of like a sky, and then it kind of like takes over, and then you no longer have to initiate any kind of concept, and it's just there.
Correct, correct. Then you can identify with this sense of presence as your own self. And this is good because now you're not bothering, you're prior to body, you're prior to mind, all of that, because that came with presence. That appeared, that is a layer of illusion that appeared on your presence. So you remain with her presence.
You don't initiate the body either. It's just there.
You don't have to, nothing. Thoughts come and go, whatever. They're not there. Who cares? And eventually, no thought. So the more you remain with yourself as self, And you know, okay, I'm just this subtle sense of presence, this very peaceful, this blissful, whatever you want to call it. And now there's something. That's the black hole. There's no. There's no nothing. Presence is the illusory layer that's the only sort of vestige of illusion left. And now that doesn't disturb you because you know yourself in a real sense.
How about the metaphor of the projector?
Yeah, you're not any of the projections. You're more like the projector. And presence is the light, basically, that is allowing for the projections to appear. But you're the projector, which means when the light is off, you're still there. When the light is on, you're still there. But now there's images that are dancing and seen. This is why Maharaj very rightly says, you are the projector, not the projections. Well, I think they talk about the screen. And then we said before, it's not like screen, like we think I'm going to go into a movie theater and see a screen. No, the screen is presence on which these images are being projected. That's the screen. And you're out of that. Presence, all of this is appearing, but presence appeared to you. It was the first, the
first projection.
And you're not in it. Again, the projector. Think about a projector in a movie theater. There's the projector.
Yeah.
You turn it on, light. What does it do? The light comes out so that you can see the images on the screen. And within the images on the screen, there's a story. There's a lot of activity going on. There's a lot of everything going on. And yet, it's coming from the light, from the projection, being able to see it, the presence, allowing for the opportunity to have objects, have movement, have colors and all the sound and then all these other sort of things. But the projection can turn, the projector itself can turn off. Projections go away instantaneously, but projector is still there. It's not affected by being turned on or off. It's not affected by the light. It's not affected by the projections. Nothing.
It's like the projections. If you're going to talk about selves, if there is ourselves, the selves would be the projections, but
it's not selves. They're just dancing lights.
I'm using that as an example, because that's what we do with our minds, make selves out of ourselves and things that we think they exist in their own right or something.
But we're all on the screen.
Yeah. But the
projector we're just appearances and stories that are occurring on the screen.
The projector can't be one of the projections.
Of course not. No. And the projector doesn't care if it's showing a scary movie or if it's showing a sci-fi movie or if it's showing murder mystery. It has no involvement in what is going on.
Mm-hmm.
And the light, the presence that the projector is projecting also is not involved in the story. You can have in one theater comedy, another theater drama, another theater very action. It's not affecting.
I was just thinking of a horror movie or sci-fi. What if one of the characters started to recognize that the projector was there? I guess it can't really happen. But, and then
right.
Start.
I mean, you could write a movie because, again, it's all imagination. Anything can occur within the projections. You could certainly have a movie where the actors on the screen start talking to the audience, even though they're not actually talking, but believing that, oh, there's an audience there. Oh, look at all the people. As a matter of fact, Tom Cruise in his Top Gun movie thanked everyone for coming out. He said, oh, we're so happy that everyone came out and we made this movie and we hope you all really enjoy it. But he's not actually talking to anybody. And anything can happen because it's just illusion. That's why you have to stop being so, like, even if aliens were coming down, you'd say, oh, aliens. But again, it's just in the projection. There's nothing actually happening. Nothing can happen outside of the bubble of illusion. Nothing. All activity, all knowing, all living, everything is within the bubble of illusion. Just like the dream state, you can have people being born, you can have happy times, sad times, water, heat, whatever. But you wake up and you know it wasn't true, but it looked really true at the time. At the time you're dreaming, it really appears that all this is real.
Because you can feel it.
Of course, in your dream, you could knock on a table and be like, oh, it's got to be real. And then you wake up in the morning and you're like, wow, that was just a dream. This is the same. Because there's no difference between waking and dreaming, other than the concept of I'm awake or I'm asleep. And this I, there's no sleeping, no dreaming, no waking, no nothing, nothing. Body is here so the long dream can be seen. But you can wake up to this dream anytime by knowing yourself in a real sense and saying, oh, so that I am that. Absolutely none of this can be true. How could it be true? Do your job, do your duties, take care of all your responsibilities. As Maharaj says, be normal, be humble, be always with you. Be normal, be simple, be humble, be always with you.
When I start to recognize the truth, though, it's shameful. It seems shameful how simple it is.
Well, I mean, again, it's even recognizing the truth is within the bubble of illusion.
Yeah.
There's no like grand plant the flag, I know the truth.
Yeah.
You know, it's all within the bubble of illusion. The concept of going to Maharaj, the concept of getting the mantra, the concept of enlightenment, all these are just within the bubble of illusion. When you know yourself in a real sense, it's just, okay. Oh.
There's no one to awaken.
Exactly. Because nothing's happening.
Nothing's happening.
And nothing could possibly ever happen. You could dream about climbing up to the mountain and seeing a guru, and the guru is saying, you know what, you're enlightened. You're absolutely, you know yourself and all this kind of stuff. And then you wake up in the morning. What good was it? What was the value? When you know yourself in a real sense, what is the value of this? Like, oh, I'm enlightened, or oh, I'm so spiritual. No, just do your job, do your duties. Be normal, be simple, be humble. Be always with you. Scenes will appear and disappear and appear and disappear and appear and disappear. until they don't.
So I mean by shamefully simple.
Yeah.